label us left or right. I'm American, not looking for a wall, but we came to fight. Welcome to the BSJ Podcast, episode number 6. I am your host, the American Redneck Buckshot Jones. This episode, as in past episodes and future episodes, we'll be talking to independent professional wrestlers and their careers and independent professional wrestling in general. My guest in this episode is another guy just like Joe Black I came into business with. He's just about did everything in the business in 15 years. He's worked in the ring. He's trained. He's been part of creative. He's booked. And not so much promoted, but helped Joe Black create RPW 1.0. My guest today, BTY, JT Storm. How you doing, brother?
Not too bad, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Now, you're a guest I've been wanting on here for a while. This is the episode I've been waiting on. Just like, you know, Joe Black, Chris X, you ain't got no filter for your mouth, and you don't sugarcoat nothing. But you, sir, you, brother, you take it to another level.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, buddy.
No, of course you don't. So how you been doing during this pandemic? How you holding up?
I've been enjoying it. I don't have to deal with people. I can sit home, play video games, watch wrestling.
I hear you.
Been nice. It's like a mini vacation.
Yeah, you know, I used to work in the public, you know, pizza shops and stuff like that. I hate being around people, but, you know, people tell me that, well, how can you say that? You're a professional wrestler. Well, there's a difference between general public, customers, and wrestling fans.
Exactly.
And you know that all too well. How did you... What made you decide to come into business? How did you get into business? And who trained you?
The thing that made me decide to get into business is I grew up a huge Hulkamaniac, man, like around 4 or 5. You know, just my family used to live up north. And so the only wrestling I got at that point in time was WWF and AWA. My brothers, they're really the ones that got me into it. Like, they would turn it on and just sit me in front of the TV, and I'd never move. So it became, like, the greatest babysitter in the world. You know, just turn on wrestling, and I'm not going to do anything. Once we moved down this way for a while, we didn't have regular TV. So literally the last memories I had of wrestling for a while were, like, Hogan, Bundy, Paul Orndorff, you know, the Road Warriors, stuff like that. And when we started to get TV down this way again, I turned on wrestling. I was just thinking, like, who the fuck are the natural disasters? Like, what is this, you know? Go back and rent stuff and try to catch up and figure out who was who and what was going on. But that's also about the time my mom's friend, when we didn't have TV, she would record wrestling on television and just fill up like an 8-hour tape. And, you know, back in the VHS.
Yeah.
And so she would just drop those off and it'd just be a mix. But it was mainly like NWA, like the WCW Power Hour, stuff like that. So I got to see, you know, the Horsemen, the Road Warriors, those guys. And then it was just like, holy shit. Okay. So then it became, you know, Hogan, Savage, the Horsemen, Surfer's thing, not Crow's thing, because there's a huge difference there. But those are the guys that really made me like, I want to be a wrestler. As far as breaking into the business, I got a job at Walmart, bud. started talking to somebody, telling them I wanted to be a wrestler. They happened to know a guy who was a wrestler. So they introduced me. That guy turned out to be Christian Steele. And a couple of years down the road, after I was trained and I'd worked and everything like that, when I first came to him, I was like maybe 170 pounds. And he finally, a couple of years down the line, he tells me, he's like, you know, he's like, when I first met you, he goes, you know, you were telling me, you know, everybody's telling me you want to be a wrestler. He goes, but I just kept looking at you thinking, really? Like, this guy wants to be a wrestler? And I'm just thinking, That's nice, bud. You're a dick, and now look at me. But, you know, that's how I got my start. Steele, you know, came to my house. You know, we got together, like, he'd show me the basics. You know, we'd go to his house up the ring. My first back bump, a lot of guys, you know, now when they take their first back bump, the ring's already completely set up. You know, it's got the canvas, got the padding, you know, it's all well and good. Just get in there and do it. My first back bump, the only thing we had set up on this ring was the frame and the wood.
Oh, wow.
And Steel flat out told me, he said, if you can bump on this, you can bump on anything. Well, all right, you're the boss. The fuck do I know? So, boom, do a back bump. Get up, do it again. I ended up taking like probably about 4 or 5 back bumps just on wood. But it became a thing to where, like, you know, hell, I've already just landed on nothing but the steel frame and the wood. I give a shit. Like, yeah, sure, I like a little bit more padding, but that's not always the case. You know, you get into a ring and you got maybe a quarter of an inch carpet padding or something if you're lucky. But, you know, it just conditioned the body. But how I got my start through Steel was he knew a guy who he ran a promotion. And it was called CWA. It was either Continental Wrestling Alliance or Association. It was in Cambridge. So I was like, all right, sweet. So they were going to have this show at the Cambridge Armory in October.
Right.
So me, Joe, all these green guys, it's me, it's Joe, it's John Rossiter, it's Ace James, another guy who went by Draven. He was barely around for a cup of coffee. But so we got all these green guys, and you know we're going to be on this show. So I'm trying like hell to think of a name. You know, like Joe's got a name, everybody else got a name, and I'm like, well, I really like Lance Storm's style, so I want to use the last name Storm. And it was already said that we were going to come in as be a part of Christian Steele's group, the CWO, the Canadian World Order. All right, so I'm going to be Storm, and I'm Canadian. So, all right, so this is working out. I need a first name. And I couldn't fucking think of shit. I tried Devin Storm, but I was like, no, I can't do that. It's already taken. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll be Johnny Storm. And then somebody reminded me, oh, you want to be the Human Torch from Fantastic Four. Well, fuck. All right, can't do that. Finally, Joe happens to sit down across from me one day at a table. And he just sits down and he goes, JT Storm. And I was like, that sounds fucking good. That's what we're going with. I'm JT Storm. So we're getting ready for this show. We're trying, you know, me and Joe's going to be a tag team. We're excited. We're going to finally wrestle in a ring. Well, get ready for that show. And the promoter guy calls us and says, we don't have a ring. How the fuck are we doing a wrestling show without a ring? Oh, no, it's going to be okay. We're going to do an award show.
For guys that never stepped foot in the ring yet.
We're going to do... So my debut in the pro wrestling business, I'm on a wrestling show, but there's no wrestling ring. I'm fucking confused. This is not what I signed up for. So I'm thinking, well, what the fuck am I getting an award for? Like, hey, congratulations, kids. You put on face paint and you fucking walked it right out there and you didn't fall on your ass at all. Good job. Oh, no, we're the awards are going to go to the established CWA guys. Well, that's great. The only guy I know is Christian Steele. Who the fuck else is established here? Like, I don't know anybody. So we do our little spot where we come out with Steele. He gets an award. We beat down the babyface guy that he's feuding with. And that was pretty much the introduction into my first day in pro wrestling, which was October 8th, 2005, which was also your start date, Joe's start date, Rozzy's start date.
Right.
All that started October 8th, 2005. And then from there, nothing happened. And, you know, to give everybody a little more insight of my first taste of the wrestling business, so I've already kind of got this little swerve thing going to where, like, okay, you told me one thing, you did another. Like, I got told I was going to be on a wrestling show. That's not what the fuck happened. So then, you know, nothing's going on with CWA, but then, oh yeah, we're still going to train. Well, cool. Okay, I'll still train. So the owner of CWA, who went by E Knight or something like that, he starts, you know, he'd come down to my house with Steel sometimes. We'd go over stuff, whatever. So Steel's working with me on my punches. Steel's loving my punches. Well, this guy shows up, who's, I don't know, 3.5 foot, fucking like 56 pounds soaking wet. This motherfucker. I don't know who the fuck he's scaring, but, you know, I got a 6-year-old right now that can whoop that ass. So this guy starts coming around. Well, he doesn't like my punches. He's no. We do it this way. Put the hand on the forehead and you hit your thumb. Put my hand on the forehead and hit my thumb. I like my punches. My punches are different than everybody else's. If we're all going out there doing the same fucking punches, what the fuck's the point of having extra matches?
True.
What? You've seen the whole show. So, long story short, so the addition to my introduction to the wrestling business is I'm leaving for work. This promoter guy's going to my house while I'm gone. Well, it turns out that this promoter guy is going to my house and seeing my then fiance.
Oh.
Yeah, so my start in the wrestling business is, hey, you got this swerve, you got told you're going to be a wrestling show, there's no ring. You just came out and did this thing. To now, hey, the guy who had this wrestling show now just fucked up your home life. So right off the get-go, like, I haven't even had a good taste of the business. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Well, then it got to the point where, like, I was going to quit. I was just like, I'm done. If this is the thing I wanted to do more than anything, just fuck me like this, I'm out. Everybody kept, you know, Steel, like, don't quit, you know. We'll figure something out. Well, then Steel's like, well, we'll get a ring, right? All right. So Steel gets his own ring. And at the beginning, what was going to happen was the plan was we were going to have this show and we were going to book that guy on it. All right.
Okay.
He was going to come out to the ring. It was going to be a quote unquote lumberjack match. So this guy was going to go out to the ring. And my first match was going to be after the locker room came out and got around the ring as quote unquote lumberjacks. We weren't telling this guy who his fucking opponent was, and that fucking opponent was supposed to be me. And the reason why everybody was going to be on the outside of the ring to make sure that motherfucker didn't try to go anywhere. And they got to the point where it's like, you know what? Fuck that. It's honestly not even worth it. But I just made it very known because, like, at first, you know, my then ex-fiance was talking about how he's going to be on this show coming up. So I let the cat out of the bag early, and the look on her face was fucking priceless. And I said, go ahead. I said, because his opponent is me. And she just kind of, like, her jaw dropped, and she just stared at me and said, here's what's going to happen. I was like, you want to fuck up my kid's life? Then he wants to fuck up my home life? I said, here's what'll happen. It's real simple. I was like, I'll hook him for a suplex. And I was like, he's in my hands then. If I drop him, whoops. That's part of the job, isn't it? Things happen.
Yes, it does.
So at that point, he was out. He was done. He wasn't booking the show. He wasn't on the show, nothing. So then we finally roll around to March of 2006. You know, we got a legitimate setup. You know, I went to college for business, stuff like that. So I cashed in a favor with a friend. I got a t-shirt deal for ICWF, which was what the promotion was going to be called. And, you know, Steel was going to be basically promoting it and booking. And he had a guy who was going to financially help us. So it's me and Joe, back when he was Johnny Rocket, all right? And so it's me and Joe, and literally our first actual match. You know, we went from, you know, this goofy no-ring fucking show to our official in-ring debut is basically the Road Warriors debut, which is we're in the back, we're at the curtain, we're getting ready to go out. We get handed the ICWF tag team titles and told, go defend these. Huh? All right, so just like the Road Warriors, you got two greener than goose shit guys. We're walking out as tag team champions. That's our first match, and we wrestled Law and Order that night. And, you know, looking back on those ICWF shows, they were fun, you know. But my God, most of us were the drizzling shits, bud. And Joe's probably going to kill me for this. But I got to tell it because it's hilarious, and I still pick on him about it today. So he took the daintiest, like, running of the ropes you've ever seen in your life. He gets whipped into the ropes, and he goes 100 miles an hour toward the ropes, right?
Right.
He gets to the ropes. He kind of turns sideways. His arms go up, and he hits the ropes so lightly that the ropes don't even move. All right? And then he comes running back 100 miles an hour. So it's like, boom, 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 ding, boom, 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 boom. Then he gets off. I'm on the outside of the ring, like, I'm covering my face laughing because I'm just like, the fuck was that? Like, okay. Well, fuck it, we're just rolling with it. But there's a lot of funny moments from ICWF that I remember, such as being in a tag match and Christian Steele's up on the second rope, right? So I'm down. I'm slowly selling up. The spot's supposed to be he comes off with a double axe handle from second rope. I hit a super kick. We both go down. So I'm slowly selling up, and out of the corner of my eye, it looks like he's jumping early. And I happen to glance over. He wasn't jumping early. The ropes weren't tight enough. So I look over, and he's literally, like, angled outward toward the ring. His feet are on the ropes, but he's trying like hell on the top rope to pull himself back to the turnbuckle so he can stand up straight and get this jump. So that's in the first show. Also in the first show, the wood, we had plywood instead of planks, right?
Right.
And the plywood wasn't thick enough. And halfway through the show, one section of the plywood starts, right? You remember that? It had that big crater in the ring?
Yeah.
So we got to do a battle royal that night. But we want to do it, you know, they want to do it like Rumble style. So, okay, now we're going to do this Royal Rumble style match. I'm the first guy out. Mind you, I'm still greener than goose shit. And we got this giant crater. So my job is to make sure no more than 7 people are in the ring at a time. And I'm supposed to do my shit. And make sure nobody goes near that. This is my first night in, like, the business. So I'm out there trying to direct traffic, tell guys, hey, you got to go. If we got too many guys in here, somebody's got to fucking leave. Because I'm supposed to go from 1 to the end. We finally get down to the end in that same battle royal. This is a funny story, too. It also involves Joe. He's going to kill me for this, too. But so Joe gets eliminated by Rob Johnson, military pressing him overhead and throwing him over the top rope, right? We've watched the video back before. He goes over the top rope, his feet hit the ground first, and he just crumbles to the floor. But he had the biggest pain in his groin to the point that, like, he thought that when he got thrown over, he just landed on his dick, and that was the end of that. But after ICWF, yeah, that ran from 2006 to about 2007-ish, mid, somewhere around there. Jesse Outlaw and Eternal Knight, right?
Right.
On OWO, which, you know, again, we, you know, I already touched base a little bit on the Eternal Knight. If anybody wants a definition of professionalism, you know, all the personal shit that went on between me and Eternal Knight, you know, that whole first year or two in the business. Now we're in OWO. were working together, right?
Yes.
This happened in your house. We buried the hatchet in front of that entire fucking roster.
I remember that.
We shook hands and that was it. The only rule was that Jesse had was no matter what, because there was, you know, still shit going on personal-wise, we were to never be in a ring together. Even though we were cool with each other, it was, no, Jesse didn't want to risk it. Okay, that's understandable.
Remove the temptation.
Right. So, I remember OWO show, we had a battle royal, and at one point, we're in the ring together, and it on video, it's funny, because you can see, anytime we go near each other, we just kind of go opposite directions. It's like, yeah, I'm not supposed to go out yet, but we're not supposed to fucking do anything to each other. But OWO was fun. You know, at that point, I was teaming with Brandon Morgan. And that's when I really started to pick things up, you know, because there was one show where I don't know if the announcer got confused, if the music guy got confused, but we're supposed to do this tag team gauntlet match, right? For the crown the OWO Tag Team Champions.
Right.
The first match is supposed to be Bryce Bennett and Bad Max Fahrenheit against Eddie Zane and Alex Miller, or Ace James, right?
Yeah.
So Bryce and Max are in the ring. And next thing you know, mine and Brandon's music cues. Like, the fuck? We're not. Like, all right, well, fuck it. Our music's playing. So we go out. We just start playing with the crowd. And we kind of walk up to the ring and look like we're talking shit to Bryce. And the whole time we're going, what the fuck are we doing out? Like, we're not supposed to wrestle this match. Well, then it became a thing where Jesse was like, you know what? We're going to just do it. And so he got on as the general manager, and we're doing this match now. That's when I learned how to work, because we did that entire match bell to bell on the fly. There was no...
It turned out to be a decent match.
Right. It was just like, we'll call the finish whenever we feel like calling the finish. And then the match that we were supposed to have with Eddie and Alex, we just ran that the normal way. But that whole match between me and Brandon versus Max and Bryce, that match was never supposed to happen. After OWO... Which, well, hang on. I got to point this out, because this all started in ICWF, and it bleeds into OWO. So also my first year in the business, I ended up with a crazy stalker.
There we go. Still there?